United States of America. Known as Land of the Free, Home of the Brave, America has come to symbolize freedom throughout the world. People from all nations and from all walks of life have called America their home. America has welcomed them with open arms. Indeed, the famed Statue of Liberty is the embodiment of the fulfillment of this dream. In New York's public education system alone, its student body represents 145 countries of the world. By welcoming all of the world's people and affording them unprecedented opportunities, America has embraced the most talented minds in all fields and from all countries, in becoming a true melting pot with few barriers to success. This young nation has become a model for others to follow. The United States has dozens of major cities, playing an important role in U.S. culture, heritage, and economy. In 2004, 251 incorporated places had populations of at least 100,000, and 9 had populations greater than a million, including 5 important global cities: New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, Houston, and Philadelphia. In addition, there are 50 metropolitan areas with populations over a million, including Long Beach, Dallas, Boston, Phoenix, Seattle, and San Diego. With no official language, English is the de facto language of the U.S. About 82% of the population speaks only English at home. Although not all Americans speak English, it is the most common language for daily interaction among both native and non-native speakers. Opportunities in this country are only limited by our imagination and our ability. Indeed, two of the richest men in the world, Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, hail from America, and both started their companies from ground up. But despite its success as one of the world's superpowers, the United States is also a very spiritual country, allowing freedom of worship to its citizens. Indeed, religion has traditionally played a large role in American society. Many of the original European colonists came to America for religious reasons. Religion still has a major influence on American politics and culture. As a liberal country that respects its citizens' right to worship, America has a deep affinity with Supreme Master Ching Hai. She first visited America in the late 1980s in response to the earnest and sincere invitations of spiritual aspirants. Since then, Supreme Master Ching Hai has accepted many invitations from around the country to share her wisdom and knowledge on spirituality. Over the years, with her boundless love and compassion, Supreme Master Ching Hai has also provided humanitarian assistance to many parts of the country. For example, in 1993, many parts of the Midwest of the U.S. were flooded as a result of heavy rainfall. Supreme Master Ching Hai's heart went out to these victims, and thus she immediately sent relief teams to this region to provide financial and material assistance. In 1994, in recognition of her compassion and contributions to these states, the governors of 6 Midwestern states, Illinois, Minnesota, Missouri, Iowa, Wisconsin, and Kansas, presented Supreme Master Ching Hai with the World Spiritual Leadership Award, and also proclaimed February 22nd as Supreme Master Ching Hai Day. On December 27, 1997, at the benefit concert organized by the Supreme Master Ching Hai International Association, A Journey Through Aesthetic Realms, Supreme Master Ching Hai generously contributed $100,000 each to the Vietnam Children's Fund and U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs. The following year, on December 18, 1998, the Supreme Master Ching Hai International Association organized another benefit concert, One World of Peace, through music, at the prestigious Shrine Auditorium in Los Angeles, California, where the Oscars were once hosted for many years. At this grand occasion, Supreme Master Qinghai once more contributed generously to two charity organizations, St. Jude Children's Research Hospital and the Starlight Children's Foundation, with a check of $150,000 and $100,000, respectively. And in the face of the human tragedy to ever occur on U.S. soil, on September 11, 2001, Supreme Master Qinghai had also responded by immediately sending relief teams from around the country and all over the world to Ground Zero in New York City. Supreme Master Qinghai's financial contributions amounted to over $300,000 to organizations aiding the victims. Contributions were given to the Virginia chapter of the American Red Cross, National Red Cross in Washington, D.C., National Salvation Army, Crisis Link, an organization to help the families of the Pentagon victims, and the Virginia Hospital Center, where many of the injured victims from the Pentagon were treated. In New York, Supreme Master Qinghai's contributions were directed to the Salvation Army, the American Red Cross, and the Firefighters Memorial Fund. Additional contributions from Supreme Master Qinghai were allocated for relief supplies. Our association members on site at Ground Zero provided supplies, medicine, and daily nourishment of delicious vegetarian food and hot coffee to relief workers. For rescuers who were in areas too dangerous to leave, the Qinghai Mobile Meal Truck, the only mobile food unit at the time, delivered food directly to those workers. In addition, Supreme Master Qinghai was awarded the Los Angeles Music Week Certificate of Commendation, the commendation of dedication and outstanding service from the Mayor of Los Angeles, and the highest honor at the 2006 annual Telly Awards. As an embodiment of true love, Supreme Master Qinghai continues to this day to extend her loving compassion to all parts of the U.S., from Virginia, Ohio, Kentucky, Alabama, to California, Florida, Texas, Hawaii, and other states, from the elderly to the homeless, the orphaned and the impoverished, and victims of natural disasters. All are recipients of Supreme Master Qinghai's love. Everywhere she goes, Supreme Master Qinghai leaves an indelible impression on the hearts of all those who met her or received her unconditional assistance. For many, Supreme Master Qinghai's words of wisdom act like a loving balm that soothes their aching soul as they yearn to return to God's embrace. We now invite you to listen to the following lecture given by Supreme Master Qinghai in Boulder, Colorado, USA, on March 9, 1991, entitled, Find Your Inner Master.
I'm glad to have seen such beautiful Americans today. Yeah, I'm also amazed. I was informed outside that the room was packed and the people there were beautiful. And I think he was right. I think I have heard a lot about Colorado, Boulders, as a very spiritual place and very a nice energy here. I heard it for many years ago when I read some of the magazines, spiritual magazines from Boulders, from Colorado. And I was actually it off and on for 2 years now to Colorado. First to Denver and then to Boulder. And I had been putting it off many times. But this time, because I'm going through the United States, so I thought might just well drop in to say hello. How's everyone? Great, yeah. I'm glad that you take time to come here, that we can have a chance to see each other once in many, probably centuries, or many lifetimes. We never know we have this chance again. Or we might be in another different physical body. It might not look so beautiful like we are now. So, you should appreciate your beauty here. So, I know that many of you have been on the spiritual path, probably so-called different paths or different approach to God consciousness or to Buddha nature. Or to Zen, or Tao. Is everyone okay? Yeah, thank you. My voice is very, very low, except when I roar, you know. Like every woman does. Well, I have to fulfill my duty. Sometimes, in a woman's shape, I have to be a feminine. Otherwise, people think only men can become Buddha. Well, the good news is, women also can become Buddha. Well, my disciples think that way. Yeah, I don't think that women can become Buddha. I'm sorry, because we are neither man nor woman. Everyone is Buddha, undeveloped Buddha. Just like every country is a country, there are undeveloped countries, there are civilized nations. Yeah. So we can be also developed by following certain techniques, certain way of life, certain way of orienting our daily life. The way most of people are living their life is not very well oriented. See, there are many levels we can live our life. And everyone knows that the highest level is to live our life in God consciousness, or when we are truly in touch or aware of our Buddha nature. Yeah. Now, many people try to approach this God consciousness or Buddha nature through different contemplating techniques. Contemplating or meditation is the best way that we could realize our true great nature. But even in meditation, there are many techniques. And even if you find the right techniques, or the fastest or the quickest techniques, it offers many levels too. Now we're supposed to talk about the highest technique. Yeah? If we meditate in a right way, we will immediately, or if we have found the right way to approach our inner nature, we will immediately find some kind of enlightening aspect. Immediately some proof of our real great self, so that we know immediately that we are not only the physical body. We are something else. We just feel so elevated. And so, not really excited, but the language is very limited in its own power to express the divine ecstasy that we might feel when we happen to fall into a right path or the right environment of God consciousness. So that's why we could call that immediate enlightenment. And now, if we follow that path or that kind of approach to God daily, then we improve each day, and we are more sure and sure of our liberation, more sure and sure of our own greatness. And then until one day we can say to ourselves, ah, I and my father are one. Or I am that. Or I am the Buddha. But even then, there's no sense of pride involved. It's just a very fact that we just discover. A truly enlightened state of being. That we just know what we are. That we haven't known before. That is all. When we found something that is ourselves, we cannot be proud. We just be happy that we have found it. It's very simple. So many people sometimes mistake that someone who might proclaim or be proclaimed. Normally, the Buddha self wouldn't say that I'm a Buddha, except in a very special case. When the disciples ask or need affirmation. But mostly they are proclaimed by the followers that they are the Christ or the Buddha or the Master. And then many people would misunderstand and would think that that so-called Master or Buddha is very proud or want to claim victory, claim honor for himself or herself. Yes, yes. I must not forget. Yes. But it is not true. It's just like after you graduate and you got a PhD and you say, I've just become a medical doctor. Or I've just passed the exams and got a PhD. And that's all. Well, we are happy that we have accomplished the goal that we have been working for after long years. So after we became Buddha, we will not feel that there's not anything great about being a Buddha. We just feel that it's very happy, very happy, very contented. And we just feel that it's natural. It's the way it should be. Yes. And the one who become Buddha doesn't feel like immediately going out and proclaim this news to people. Not that he has lost his sense of compassion or that he's selfish, but they look upon the Buddha, look upon all beings as Buddha. And so the Buddha was probably feel very surprised that somebody say, somebody doesn't know about this. But gradually the Buddha regained the sense of reality, I mean, of this world, and know for sure that there are many who have not realized that they are the Buddha. And that is the truth. Therefore, when these so-called people, so-called unenlightened people, or have not realized their own greatness, people came and requested the so-called Buddha to explain to them and to show them the way how to become Buddha, then that Buddha would do it. But without any sense of false pride or superiority at all. It might have a little sense of surprise, but no pride. Say, oh, why didn't she know it, you know? Why didn't she know that he is a Buddha? Yes, on and off will be always a sense of surprise during the preaching time of any Buddha or any masters, yeah? When I say Buddha, please understand also. And I think you understand that I mean also Christ or any messiahs or any masters, living, true, living, high masters. I was much of the time in contact with Buddhist doctrines before, and even now. Also, I read many other doctrines, but because when I was young, I was always familiar with the Buddhist terminologies. Therefore, sometimes I say Buddha or Buddhist doctrines, but please do not misunderstand that I stand for Buddhism alone and do not respect Christianity or any other great philosophy, yeah? I'm for all. I respect all and I know all is pointing to the same truth. But we must know the truth. That's important. Not only to know the way, but we must know the truth. Just like once the Buddha said, I'm the finger that points toward the moon, but the finger is not the moon. He means He meant that his doctrine, his philosophy, just to awaken in us a sense of a longing for the moon, for the truth. But we must not cling to that philosophy alone and forget to find the truth. So the truth which we have inside us, that is God nature, or the kingdom of God, or Buddha nature, we have it already. We must uncover it. There is technique to do it immediately and continue to do it daily until we recover the whole kingdom of God for ourselves. The way most of the people live their life now is not yet complete and is not very ideal for our happiness and for our wisdom. There are many levels to live our life. The first level is the physical level, where most or many people spend their life in. In the physical level, we mostly love sensual pleasure, love to sleep, love to eat well, love to have all kind of physical happiness. And we tend toward laziness too. We just work because we need to earn a living. But we do not put our ideal, our heart, into our work. I'm just talking about different level. Please don't be offended. So that is the physical level. And we find it's difficult to work. We don't like working that much. As far as it doesn't concern our welfare, it's difficult for us to lift our finger to work for others or to do anything that is more beneficial to the mass of mankind. I'm just talking a general view, but if we go into details, it takes a longer time. So, now, the second level is what we call emotional level. In the emotional level, we are very strong in our own opinion. We can say we are domineering or authoritative. What we think is right. What we do is correct. And we expect even others to do the same. They are in this level are born many dictators and great so-called leaders in the extremist movement. Yes, because they're too emotional. They live their life in the emotional level. And these two, even though it is good if they follow the right way, but when it's the wrong way, they also do not try to correct it, and they will not admit their error. And that is the danger, because there is no flexibility. Another level when we can live our life is that we live our life in the intellect, in the mind, the physical mind. Well, the mind, I'm sorry, is normally physical. It's a kind of computer, a very excellent computer. It records everything and put out all the data very faithfully without any intelligence and judgment. If we do not put the soul intelligence into it, then the mind is only an automatic machine. Now I'm talking about this automatic machine, the enlightened mind. So when people live in this kind of automatic level of the mind, they became even more engrossed in themselves. So many people reach this level and they probably hide themselves into any caves or bury themselves into any kind of ideal, and they stick in there. They get stuck and they would not care what happening to the world, and they would not even want to change the world or to change themselves. They think they are perfect the way they are. And many mistake this for the highest enlightenment itself. They think it's nothing to do in the world. But the way of doing without doing is in a different level. It's not that. It's not that we don't care for the world and we do nothing for the world. It is not so, the great enlightenment. It's just one of the levels of the progress to enlightenment, to the great enlightenment, yeah? Enlightenment we have, anyhow, different degrees each day. As we struggle towards the truth, we experience different enlightenment each day and we broaden our wisdom until one day we reach the highest level. So, that is one of the levels. Now, if we reach a little bit higher level, we live in so-called the soul, the self level, the self-realization level. We know then that we are soul, that we live because of the soul, that we are intelligent because of the soul light, that we have compassion and feeling, etc., because of the soul's motivation behind it. And in this level, we know many things, and we try many ways to benefit the world, to help the world, and to help ourselves to live in bliss, happiness, and anything that we want to define as the noble goal of mankind. And we try hard. We still try with our effort and all our might to achieve this and to help others to achieve the same. This is the soul's level, the self-realization man. Because at that time, we identify ourselves with the soul. We know that we and the soul, yeah, the source of inspiration, are the same. We are not the body. But still, that is not the highest level. Because at that time, we still have the ego that identifies, that knows that it is great, that knows that I and my father are one. They are two still, too crowded. Even though we say I and my father are one, but because they are still I and father, therefore not yet one. Yeah? You see, that's the paradoxical of things. So now, don't say I criticize Jesus. It's not true. He has only to say that in order to make people understand. But he is not that. You understand? He knows that he is different. Therefore, in another place he say, not I, but the Father does. You understand what I mean? He knows. He knows better than I and my Father are one. But he must say something. Otherwise people cannot get what he wants to say. Yes. When any master come to earth, they have to lower their level to the people's level and then slowly bring them up. Yes? Otherwise, how can we do it? Just like you teach a child. Yes, you have to teach him how to write ABC and hold his hand and to help him to write also. And teach him many sentences, which you don't need to learn any longer, but you have to do it for the child's sake. So now after this self-realization level, we have God's level, God's consciousness, or God realization. God is none other than ourself. But even then, at the self-realized level, we do not know that. We thought there is a God besides us. Well, it sounds funny, you know. Does it sound atheist? I hope not. It's difficult to explain. It's difficult to explain. Okay, try to understand. It's not that you don't understand, it's just difficult for me to explain. Mm. So the God realized level is we are in it. We just do what has to be done without even thinking, without even knowing, without even feeling that we're doing it. We are just that. We just do it. We're just the author of all things, the source of everything, of our actions, consequences. But without having the karma attached therewith. I hope I have made it clear enough, but I still think it's not. Even then, I don't know what else to say. Maybe you ask me later, and then I know how you understand it, and probably I also be more enlightened in your enlightenment, and then we can explain further. So now, most of the people live in the physical or emotional or automatic intellectual level or self-realization as the most. God realization level, many of us do not experience. But we could. Every of us could, because we have God within us. In the Bible it is stated that we are the temple of God, and the Holy Spirit lives within us. Is that not so? Yes. Also, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God comes not through observation, I mean, not through reasoning, intellectualizing, not through talking, not through studying books or scriptures, but the kingdom of God is within you. Therefore, the direct way is to know it, to experience it, I mean to snatch it back. That's why many Zen masters say, don't need the scriptures. It sounds very atheist. Yeah, I mean, is it atheist? Yeah? Don't believe in God, right? Yeah. Also, the Buddha sometimes in his probably tiring moment say, no such God. Yeah, there's no God. He doesn't mean there's no God. There is just no such God as we expected. So he said, not that, not this, not others, no such God. Yes. So people are attached to that sentence and say the Buddha doesn't believe in God. But it's not true. Not true. Because in other places he say, I wouldn't say there's no God there or there is God, but I say there's one thing from which all things come and to which all things return. So that's also mean what? You know, yeah? All right. Now, we tend to just analyze one or two sentences of the prophet of any time and then categorize him, that he's that or he's this and he's others. And we make so many isms out of this and sometimes fight with each other because of ism. And even within one ism, there is split opinions and there is sometimes fighting. Sometimes even bloodshed. And that's very sad things to do. The prophet, or the masters of old, never wanted to create this kind of division. After we have realized God, probably we will understand many more than we can express in word. But then there is a sense that even if we don't say it, everyone would understand. For example, if a master has many, many disciples, it's not possible that that master can always be individually taking care of each disciples, you know, physically or verbally. But all the disciples get enlightenment. All the disciples understands by their own and slowly reach the level of the master. Why? Because we are the master. We have the inner master. We are that. We are God's self. We are Buddha. We have Buddha nature in us. And once the master has helped us to awaken that Buddha inside us, or the Master inside us. The Master himself inside will take care of all things. Wake up to work. After many lifetimes sleeping, have nothing to do. Like stay in the physical level, then only the body works, the body desires and doing things. The body enjoys the sensual pleasure, but the Master has nothing to do with it. And emotional level, the Master also does not dictate. It is the habit forming of the mind that dictates. This is the desire to be above everyone that dictates. And also in the intellectual level, it's the mind, the intellect that discriminate things, that tell the body what to do, to stick in the caves, to meditate, to do this and that and others, but not the soul, not God, not the Master. But only after meeting with the real Master, then the real Master would recognize it. Because the president normally talks to the president. The king negotiates with the king. The king would not go and find any of the minister and talk to him about state affair. The king would not go and visit any policeman and negotiate the two nations' great important issues. Understand? So long as the policeman department involved or any minister affair involved, the presidents will not be there. Yeah? Or the king will not be there. So only when the king came, then the king will come and meet him and talk to him, negotiate with him, or planning things for the nations or for the world. That's what it is, the importance of meeting the true Master in order to awaken the true self within us. The king, we only talk to the king. Therefore, we could follow many paths. We could do everything we want, stick in the caves for 100 years. We still not find the Master. It's not the Master's affair. So he will not come out. He only wait until the proper moment to see the king, because he is the king. Therefore, we meditate, we follow many different so-called masters, we do every kind of austerities, even vegetarianism. But that doesn't bring us to Buddhahood or to God throne, except when we awaken the Buddha within us through seeing another Buddha and through the helps of another Buddha, then we know ourselves.
thank you for your company on today's episode of Words of Wisdom. Please tune in tomorrow for part two of this profound lecture on Find Your Inner Master. And now, please stay tuned for music and poetry on a journey through aesthetic realms, only on Supreme Master Television. God bless you and your loved ones always.